Murray back and through, and he's made it! He's done it! It's a grand slam roar at Augusta National! Rory McIlroy on his knees, bent down in emotion, clutching his head. He's won the Masters. He's won all the Grand Slam events. He's the sixth in the history of the game to enter golf's greatest group.
And welcome to the Steakhouse, back at our normal time, 9 a.m. on a Monday morning out at the Green Hat Classic and at the beautiful
Berkeley Hills Country Club right here in Duluth, Georgia. Beautiful Monday morning.
And what a day to be with Drew Butler, who is by far the most knowledgeable golf guy on the radio in Atlanta, with the exception of maybe the guy I hired some 30 years ago, Brian Katrick, who
heard BK on the coverage yesterday on SiriusXM. You know, that whole team that they had on Masters Radio, led by Mike Tirico, Taylor Zarzur, Brian Katrick, Drew Stoltz was on there. I was in the car with my daughters, and they were like, put music on. I said, I can't. This is great radio.
It's so funny you said, we were driving my daughter somewhere. For a long, I forget what the ride was. She goes, what are we listening to, Dad? I go, this is golf. It's the Masters. She goes, this is so boring. I was like, and normally I'd acquiesce. Oh, the coverage was amazing.
Yeah.
Having Tirico on the radio call, which, by the way, guys like Mike Tirico, you don't normally hear do all radio, right? And having Nance and Van Pelt on the television call, but Nance specifically.
Right.
I mean, the gravitas. I mean, welcome if you're driving around or on our Odyssey app, there's a lot to get to with the Hawks playing, with the G-Day game, with Tech, and with the Atlanta Braves. But I've been doing this long enough to know that yesterday crosses over the sports realm, that every goofy morning show in Atlanta and everywhere else is talking about Rory McIlroy.
Right.
That I don't think we could do 5 hours, certainly sitting next to you, who knows the sport, who plays it at the high level, who knows so many of these guys. So I'm going to guess that folks can't get enough of talking about a spectacular weekend. But me and my buddies, I was at a Masters party. I don't know if you saw the Instagram I put out. A buddy had done on the Gold Belly.
Yep.
He did all the Masters food.
Of course, from Augusta.
Yeah. They send that whole package out. And we're sitting down about 5 o'clock. And Rory's up 7 on Justin Rose and 4 on DeSham. And we're like,
This is over.
Yeah, this could have been a great party.
Yeah.
But, like, this kind of no drama. And right from there, dude, the next 2.5 hours, some of the best sports television of all time.
It was the reality show of all reality shows, as you love to say. It was a total roller coaster yesterday. At one point, Rory McIlroy, a prohibitive favorite, minus 2,000 to win the tournament. He went into the second nine, the 10th tee, with a 4-shot lead, which was exactly the stroke lead that he blew back in 2011. Really just an unbelievable day of golf. And for him to make doubles and then come back and make birdies and then hit great shots and then miss putts and then make a bogey on 18 to head into a playoff. You know, we're overlooking the unbelievable 66 that Justin Rose shot yesterday to get into that playoff. The theatrics and the drama was absolutely out of this world, and Rory McIlroy birdies the first playoff hole to complete the career grand slam and get that elusive green jacket he's been trying to get for so long.
Yeah, you know, there's 4 majors, but there really isn't. There's 1 major and 3 other golf tournaments, right? There's
right.
Augusta, and it's just fitting that, and I don't know that it's always the case, but it certainly feels like Augusta has all the moments, you know.
Of course.
Certainly, you know, and maybe that's just because we're close to it, and maybe there are some, you know, great moments at the British Open or the Open Championship, whatever you want to call it. But God, there's so many, you know, the gravitas of Augusta, the urgency of – I wasn't surprised – the urgency of trying to win that tournament. And my reaction to watching him go to his knees was, of course he did.
Yeah.
Like, for 5 hours,
he's exalted,
trying to hold
yes.
on for
yes.
dear life. I wanted to ask you, how big a miss when he goes in the drink, right? Like, for a guy
mind-boggling.
In his level.
Mind-boggling. That he would, one, lay up in that situation. I believe he was 252 yards out on 13, a little bit of a side hill lie. You thought with how he was hitting the ball, he would just blast it into the back bunker, chip in a putt, pick up a stroke with the birdie, and keep it rolling. He lays up. That, to me, was a little bit of a head-scratcher. And then he fanned
from
this 89-yard shot where he
from
should
120.
Be green light special. 120 was on the 18th hole. It was even shorter on the 13th hole. He fans it, leaves it outright, puts it in the drink. Inexplicable in that moment, and you saw two holes later on the 15th hole when he was kind of tucked behind the trees. He had 207. He could have laid up there. He said, I've learned my lesson. He hits a shot that's going to go down in Masters history, a 7-iron, hooks it around the trees, brings it to about 4.5 feet.
Right,
then he misses the putt.
Right, yeah. A chance for the eagle.
Misses the putt.
Right, another eagle.
Birdie on right. 15.
And then
just the up and down roller
Yeah,
coaster.
Missing the eagle, that would have given him the lead he needed. He
Absolutely.
Missed that. And then how many feet on 18 was the original?
It was 4.5 feet, the exact distance that he had to go to a playoff a year ago in the U.S. Open against Bryson DeChambeau. Almost an identical putt. He misses that. They go to the playoff, and somehow, some way, he's able to reset once again and hit two amazing shots on 18 to bring up about a three-footer for birdie to win the Masters.
Does all that conversation about breath work, about pressure, about anxiety, the whole term choking really comes from basically doing something you've done a million times, but doing it differently because the pressure gets to you. You can't steady your hands. You can't steady your heart rate, heartbeat. I was thinking when Justin Rose blasted extra hole, that perfect approach.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking,
so good it almost got unlucky because people are saying he might have skimmed the flag stick. He landed right in front of it, and that's why the ball shot forward so much and didn't come roll back down the
hill. Right, and Rory got the roll back down the hill.
He played it perfect. He even said afterwards it was a better number than what he had. Finishing up the final round, he threw that gap wedge onto that top of the hill, brought it back with some backspin. Perfect. 2.5 feet. Rose misses. Rory makes. He wins the golf tournament. You talk about all the breath work, sports psychologists. Rory's been very open about all that stuff. Yesterday, one thing that I noticed is he would not stop snacking and drinking water on the golf course.
Water,
I was sitting there going, I've never seen
right
him do this before.
Right before every, like on 18, right before his approach.
He was white knuckling that Yeti bottle like
yes.
he had a transfusion cocktail in there. I was like, what's going on? This is crazy. It had to have been something that him and his team had worked with in the sense of, hey, in the big pressure moments, remember to take deep breaths, do stuff to get your mind off
so
what's
he
going
And
on.
He plays fast,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
So I also heard that he was playing a little longer than normal yesterday.
Yeah.
But then when he stood over his putts, it seemed like he rushed them. But he wasn't rushing them, really. That was his style. I mean, it was ugly to watch him miss a couple of mammoth putts. And,
oh, my goodness.
And the patrons, there's a lot. And I talked to some buddies who were there. They were all in on DeChambeau. They had no emotion at the same level for Rory. But once DeChambeau was out, of course, they don't want to see Justin Rose beat him in that scenario.
Well, the storyline leading into yesterday was the best golfer right now, certainly one of them, the biggest name without question, Rory McIlroy, the face of the PGA Tour, going up against the most popular person in golf who has reinvented himself through social media, who has millions of followers,
so why do people
loves the fans. It's absolutely unbelievable how those two matched up against each other. And, you know, you talk about Augusta always getting the moments. The thing that makes the Masters the most special against the other major championships is that it's at the same course every single year. The patrons know and love Augusta National. They know exactly what the golf course looks like. They know exactly how the holes play. They know exactly what they want to do when they get inside the gates,
which is navigate
hit
the
merch tent,
right.
Go to the concession stand, pick out your favorite seat, go share and enjoy this beautiful cathedral with friends and family, and we'll talk about what happened to the ticket prices yesterday to get in. Astronomical. Augusta started clamping down
on
some
whole
of the third-party market transactions. But my favorite stories of hearing people who were there is that, one, you walk in with no cell phone, so you're in the moment. But, two, when you run into people, you're actually running into them. There's no texting, hey, meet me here, hey, I'll see you there. Your eyes are up, you're looking at one another, and you're just enjoying this great golf tournament, which, of course, it produced yesterday.
But the point of DeChambeau's popularity, which is
unbelievable,
permeating through the golf course, it felt like, and really had a lot of people thinking, you know, all due respect to Rory, we're DeChambeau guys.
Yeah.
And it's an American golfer, and the Ryder Cup fresh on people's mind as well. Rory referenced, I like seeing Europeans at the top, which I'm a little surprised.
Yeah.
Like, he still plays that card, right? And when he was talking about, you know, the fact they get 1-2. But, you know, DeChambeau just imploded. So then
he just didn't have his best stuff yesterday, and he was the first to admit it afterwards. You could sense that Bryson DeChambeau had no pressure yesterday, playing with house money, having a good time. And every time you saw Rory, I mean, it looked like his hair was turning gray throughout the round.
But, I mean, rightfully so. The gravitas.
Of course.
Listen, Rory McIlroy would have gone down as one of the biggest chokers in golf history. Instead, he secures, for the first time in 25 years, he secures the Grand Slam.
Yeah, Gary
the
Williams.
The difference in what today would have been is unfathomable.
Gary Williams, who is an elite golf commentator, yesterday before the round said, the final round of the 2025 Masters is an either-or situation for Rory McIlroy. Either it will be the crowning moment and crowning achievement of his golfing career, or he will go down as one of the biggest choke artists in the game of golf.
Yeah,
simple
and by the way, the way he was about to blow it and did blow it would have even magnified it even
absolutely
more. Because
no
it wasn't
question.
Just, oh, he struggled and he got beat from behind or that DeChambeau beat him. It's he was blowing everything that was right there for him. Let's do a quick 99. We've got 1 minute to go. All right, Braves, they're scuffling, no question. They get blown out 8-3 yesterday. Chris Sale's been worrisome. That's a great way to describe him. Four and a third, six hits, three runs, and then Pierce Johnson and De Los Santos give up the next four. The record?
4-11.
Is ugly.
And 4-11. They're 1-9 on the road. Saturday was their first road win of the season.
Yeah, they're headed to Toronto. Things don't look much better there as well. Braves will get Spencer Strider back for the middle game, correct?
It should be the game on Wednesday. That's the expectation.
And then
you got Spencer Schwellenbach on
Tuesday.
It's going to be a tough pitching matchup here. Easton Lucas is tonight against Grant Holmes. Kevin Gausman on Tuesday and then Chris Bassett on
Wednesday. They got their big guns. Toronto, good team as well. All right, real quick. Hawks, the win yesterday, pointless, but I'm not pointless, not important, let's just say that. 115-107. They are in Orlando. They win tomorrow. They're in the playoffs. They're the seventh seed, and they'll play the Boston Celtics. And that means the Celtics will be here next week, late in the week. They lose. They play the winner of Bulls and Heat. Both teams are hot. And they'll be coming up on Thursday night at State Farm Arena.
I like the Hawks' chances to get a dub over the Magic tomorrow night. Bring in the Celtics. Let's have some fun in the first round of the playoffs.
Atlanta United 1-0 loss to New England Revolution. Very frustrating.
Yeah, they were able to get the ball in the box a lot. They got a lot of shots off, but nothing.
G-Day and Athens. Rusty will update us on that. G-Money is here. You'll update us on tech as well, right?
I got everything you need to know about the white and gold game.
All right. College baseball, Georgia and Georgia Tech both had big weekends, right? Dogs beat number one Arkansas in 12 innings on
Sunday. On Sunday, yeah. Dan Jackson scored the game-tying run in the bottom of the 11th. Yes, that Dan Jackson.
12 innings, first home series win versus a number one ranked team since 1993.
And Tech beats who out of the ACC? Now they swept two series in a row,
yes, sir.
All right, that's our 9-9. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Masters, why Atlanta owns that tournament. And, yes, you should be worried. Very worried about your Atlanta Braves. Rusty Manziel later in the show. Lots more on the way. Things I learned. We are live at the Green Hat Classic, the Kyle Peace Foundation, the benefactor of this, and lots more on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live at the Green Hat Classic, the fourth annual Green Hat Classic Golf Tournament, presented by the Georgia Hemp Company, benefiting the Kyle Peace Foundation. Benefiting, it's a nonprofit dedicated to improving the lives of individuals with disabilities through sports. Can't think of a better cause to be out here. And I literally, if I had to say in a course of 365 days, you're going to have a golf tournament the day after the Masters, when everybody is just thinking about, I got to get my clubs out. I got to go golf. I got a Monday morning where right now it's like 60. It'll be, I mean, today is
Chamber
literally the perfect day for a golf tournament. So we're thrilled to be out here. And it's going to be hard not to talk Masters. It was, you know, I put a tweet up that I was at a party with about 25 people, and 10 of them are not even big sports fans or golf fans at all. And everybody weeping watching Rory in the Butler cabin getting choked up with Jim Nance, obviously on the golf course. Never has athletic endeavor felt like a weight was lifted. And I'm trying to think in the pantheon of sports. There's the Michael Jordan, I guess, hugging the ball on the ground.
Yep.
Was that the fourth title, the one coming back after
being gone?
I think that was
that
one.
That was after his dad had passed, correct?
Yes, after his dad had passed. I'm trying to think of other examples.
I can give you an example. I thought about it last night. You know, Rory McIlroy could have gone on and won 15 more major championships, broken every record. If he did not get the Masters, if he did not win the green jacket, it would not have been good enough for him. As I'm watching him win last night, I sit there and I say, wow, he looks exalted. He was so relieved, falling to his knees, crying, looking up at the sky, almost as in disbelief. I did it. I did it. I did it. I've been working towards this for 14 years. There is one thing that popped into my mind.
Can you give me the sport? Can you give me
football?
Joe Montana,
nope.
Steve Young.
This has not happened yet, but it will feel the exact same as when it does.
What, Falcons win a Super Bowl?
That's correct.
Arthur Blank?
That's correct.
Finally, the curse has been lifted?
The Atlanta Falcons winning a Super Bowl is the only way that they can get over the heartbreak that they have endured throughout the franchise's history. And I promise you that when they do, and it will happen, when they do, the ownership, the franchise, the fan base, and the players will feel the exact same relief as you saw Rory McIlroy
yesterday. The fan base, for sure.
Yes.
So I was in, I've told you the story, I was in St. Louis the night the Boston Red Sox won a World Series and broke an 86-year drought, right?
Yeah.
And in year 68 was the Mets series where they were one strike away. And then, of course, there's the Aaron Boone and there's, you know.
I got an even better one.
The year before. And I can tell you that people were in tears, crying, calling their parents, calling their grandfather, calling their cousins. We never thought this day would come. The relief that sports provides for people and for Falcon fans because and even, you know, some of the players who had been through, you know, 8-10 year stretch were getting close and getting close. But an individual sport like golf, it's not quite the same for the fan base.
Right, and one that people who are listening have felt recently, January 2022, when you're in Indianapolis, it's negative 5 degrees outside. Georgia's going to play Alabama. You're inside a dome. It's the height of Omicron COVID. I have never seen so many collective people so happy.
Yeah.
Than being in those concourses after Georgia finally won the national championship. It was an unbelievable moment.
Yeah, and the Cubbies finally winning it after a 100-year drought. That's in the mix. I'm trying to think if there's been anything else recently. But that's what it felt like for Rory McIlroy, who felt like all his contemporaries were getting a chance at the green jacket. When will my time come?
Did you see what Shane Lowry said? He was asked about it. What does this mean to Rory? He said it's all he's ever thought about.
Right.
For 14 years.
He also said, my life isn't defined by golf. I always say that, but let's be honest, it really is.
Yeah.
And if you're going to define my life, you got to define it with a Grand Slam. Tiger captured the Grand Slam in 2000. Other than that, it's been 25 years, only 6 golfers in history. Here is Rory McIlroy about his emotional reaction.
I would say it was 14 years in the making from, you know, going out with the 4-shot lead in 2011, you know, feeling like I could have got it done there. And yeah, there was a lot of pent up emotion that just came out on that 18th green. And a moment like that makes all the years and all the close calls worth it.
Thought it was amazing when he was in the press center talking to the media after he had won. And some of the questions were, how did you continue to reset your focus? You were up, you were down, you'd hit great shots, then you'd miss putts, you had the lead, then you lost the lead. You go into 18 with a one-shot lead. You absolutely nuke a driver straight down the middle of the fairway. You got a green light special, 120 yards, a relatively friendly pin, and he flares it right, leaves it in the bunker. Everybody's sitting there with their hands on their head like, what
is going
on?
So how easy a shot is that at 120 for a guy at
his level? For a caliber player like
Rory
McIlroy.
Yeah, number one player in the world. Yeah. I mean, that's what he's been like of late,
yes.
Right?
I mean, easy in that moment, considering the nerves and the pressure of, hey, this is your time to win the Masters. Clearly, that makes things different.
If you're standing over
– on a stock day, he should be hitting that within 10 feet 9 times out of 10.
9 out of 10.
Yes.
Let alone never be in the bunker.
Right. That's correct. So some of the
Coming back without the pressure of that, is it a 5.5 foot putt coming back?
4.5 foot putt, the exact same distance he missed
to
at the U.S. Open a year ago, to par the hole and win the Masters.
When you're standing over from 4.5, what's your likelihood of making a putt like that?
For a guy like Rory McIlroy,
and by the way, I'm asking you, what are you, a 4, a 6, a 2?
A handicap?
Yeah.
Right now I'm a +1.
Wow. So you're a scratch golfer.
That's correct.
So you, from that distance, out of 10 putts.
I'd like to say 9 out of 10. In that moment, all bets are off.
I know, but
such a high-pressure putt. But for Rory to miss that putt, go to the playoff, almost look like he just saw a ghost.
You know,
refocus his caddy. Told him, this is exactly what you would have asked for on Monday morning. You're right.
I went to the site. He was minus 140 in the playoff.
Right.
And look,
I saw it
Justin Rose
time.
Was
plus 130. Yeah.
Wow, I wish it was like plus 110.
I saw plus
130. So you're not getting
it
coming back. You're getting screwed. And I just said, I'm just going to take him. I don't know that it's great.
You took Rory?
I took Rory in the playoff. And then I'll be honest, when Justin Rose hit his second shot, I said the pressure might be just too much because Justin Rose is staring at a birdie.
Yeah.
And if Rory's not close here, at worst, Rose has his par all lined up.
Right.
Which is why that shot was so remarkable.
I thought before the putts were even hit that if Justin Rose had made his putt for birdie, that Rory would have missed. And that if Justin Rose had missed his birdie, Rory would make.
Yes.
And that's what happened.
Yeah. By the way, Justin had the birdie at 18, very similar to DeChambeau at 18 the day before.
Which was incredible.
I mean, dude, DeChambeau was on such a heater. And, you know, just talking to some folks who were there. And by the way, I apologize because I wasn't there, so I shouldn't say. It was a very pro-Rory crowd. But the DeChambeau, young, college, kind of hyped up, were louder than anybody in terms of, you know, aggressiveness, how they root. And that's who he has. He was on such a heater on Saturday. When he drills that birdie on 18, I mean, that
from
just,
off the green, about a 40-plus foot putt.
That
it was so
ridiculous.
Fast.
Ridiculous.
He was hyping the crowd up, walking through the patrons. I mean, that's what Bryson DeChambeau brings to the game of golf. That levity, that fun. Hey, let's do Break 50 on YouTube. Hey, follow me on social media. I'm going to invite strangers to come hit golf balls over my mansion in Dallas.
Did you hear
what Colt Knost said? What Bryson DeChambeau did Saturday?
Did you guys hear this, G? Bryson DeChambeau goes for a walk the night before the final round. There's a house in Augusta where a bunch of dudes, I imagine, were partying and putting in their backyard. And he walks in that backyard and spends the next hour hanging out with these dudes.
That's so awesome.
Can you imagine the photos of DeChambeau just hanging and putting with these dudes?
I know we talked about it last week, but the hospitality around Augusta throughout Masters Week. I mean, I saw Dave Matthews was there playing at a private party.
Yeah, our buddies at Delta had, what's his name, Thomas Rhett.
Thomas Rhett, Darius Rucker, Dave Matthews. I mean, it was absolutely
30,000 to 40,000 a house is what all these folks that live in Augusta get.
That's it?
30, 40. Well, depending on how.
Right. I thought some of the big ones would be six figures for the week. I don't know. That's just my assumption.
There's not that many big
ones,
houses.
Yeah. I mean,
dude.
It's a small area.
I stayed 2 years ago. It was a modest. It was a nice house, and it was, you know, a really nice company that was putting people up. But it wasn't, I mean, you know, it's still a sleepy southern town, man.
I know.
Still a sleepy southern town.
It wakes up during Masters Week, though. There's no doubt about that.
You see Terry McGuirk always right behind there when Rory's there, finally, you know, they redo the green jacket ceremony with Scotty, and he's speaking, and our buddy Terry McGurk with the Braves is front and center. When we come back, Rusty Manziel was at G-Day. We'll talk to him. G-Money's got everything on Georgia Tech. And finally, somebody in the world of NIL said, no Moss, we are over this. Great story, I think, coming out of Knoxville. It's Stake, it's Drew Butler. We're at the Green Hat Classic. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Stakey, Green Hat Classic, Kyle Pease Foundation, and we're at the Berkeley Hills Country Club. I'll talk to my buddy Joe Salome, who helped put this thing together, coming up after 10 o'clock. Rusty Manziel coming up. You're a Georgia fan. We got all the sights and sounds from the GDA game as well. And what can you say? Basking in the magic of great sports, great television, great drama, all the things we get to do every day. You know, like I talked about last week, tariffs, that's not fun to talk about. Your 401k, that's a struggle. Folks on both sides just hammering each other. And then you do what we do for a living, which is come in here and say, we can't worry about all that. We're worried about, you know, what happened to Bryson DeChambeau yesterday on the front nine. We're worried about, you know, Jim Nance's call versus Mike Tirico's call. You know, these aren't real-life things, but they sure as hell are fun, and we're lucky enough to get to do that. So thanks for spending time with us. Radio station's on fire this week. Hawks have a play-in situation. Falcons are getting close to a week away from the draft. Obviously, Atlanta United's struggling right now. Great coverage and all that. Great golf coverage as well with Drew. But let's get our attention turned to some college football. G-Day game. Kirby Smart, quarterback play.
Both did some good things and both did some poor things, which when you get in game environment, they need that. They need a game environment. They need a pocket. They need live. They need to play football. And they continue to get better. They understand they have some weapons on the outside. We have to rely on those guys to be able to make some plays. You know, I think both those guys understand the offense. Ryan's come a long way in what was really his first spring, and he made some nice throws.
Team Red came out victorious 34-17 over Team Black. Gunnar Stockton had a good day, 309 yards passing, two touchdowns. He went 17-34. He did have an interception. On the flip side, Ryan Puglisi, who will be pushing Gunnar Stockton for the starting job, he had 172 yards and a touchdown. He also had one interception, 20-46 passing. So it was a pass-heavy G-Day game, a little bit of a different atmosphere compared to years past. State, it was reported 35,000 or so people were inside Sanford Stadium. The upper deck was closed off. I know it was Masters Saturday.
Well, ask
but
Rusty.
I think it's just the changing of the times.
Well, I want you to ask Rusty in about 3 minutes about that article you were quoting off the air to me this morning. Here is Kirby Moore on quarterback improvement from Gunner.
Excited to see some more growth, excited to see some more toughness, excited to see what they can do in the fall. The biggest thing is keeping them healthy, and I don't know what the number is, but I would bet there's six or seven of them that are in their first time playing in this offense, and that takes a little time. So I thought the six or seven new guys got better as the spring went on, and they got a chance to get 20-something more practices to grow
even
more.
All right, we're all right. Where I'm sorry. That's yet. Just enough, Kirby. sorry, I should have, you know, should have edited that down a bit. Let's turn to Tech. Gee, anything interesting to remark?
Very similar to what we saw in the G-Day game. Lots of passing, lots of throwing the ball.
So a halfback touchdown throw.
So, yeah, Jamal Haynes had a halfback touchdown throw to Zion Taylor, who had a huge day, 156 yards and two touchdowns for him. He is a breakout candidate for the Yellow Jackets this year. Bailey Stockton's another one of those guys, and then former Marist tight end Luke Harpring.
Here's,
all three of them had big games.
Okay, good. Good to hear. Luke Harpring, Matt Harpring's son. Let's hear Brent Key.
I think it's important to play spring games. You know, there's a lot of reasons behind it, you know, from external, from, you know, fans and, you know, student body and people around. But, you know, the importance is when you go out and scrimmage and you have people in stands and, you know, it's a different environment. And you don't know how you're going to scrimmage by the way you practice necessarily. You hope you do.
Okay. Well, there you go. And we're going to talk to Rusty about atmosphere there and G as well. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if people are clamoring for these spring games as much anymore, but real quick, big news in Tennessee. All the rumors come true, essentially, right?
Yeah, Nico Iamaleava, their starting quarterback from a year ago, a highly touted recruit who's been paid very handsomely the past couple of years in Knoxville, started a holdout midweek. He was not showing up to spring practice. It was being reported that he would not be at the spring game either. And before the spring game took place on Saturday, Stake, Nico Iamaleava and the Tennessee football program part ways. He will be transferring. The portal opens up in a week or so, and this is your first ever really holdout contract type dispute.
And
in
Josh
Heupel
trying
football.
To send a message.
We're moving forward as a program without him. I said it to the guys today. There's no one that's bigger than the power T, and that includes me.
Indeed. Maybe the first of what's to come. Of schools finally taking a little bit of the leverage back.
Yeah, and rumors swirling around social media when this news broke. It looks like Nico has a little top three of a UCLA, USC, possibly Notre Dame-type landing spot. And then the biggest rumor, though, was that head coach of the Oregon Ducks, Dan Lanning, reportedly called Josh Heupel, Tennessee's head coach, and said, hey, just a heads up, your quarterback's team is calling around trying to shop him. And I believe that's what had started Heupel taking a hard stance of saying, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? And it led to them parting ways.
Rusty joins us. So much to get to. My friend, how are you?
Good, man. Just listening to you guys and following up on the Masters. What a weekend. What a G-Day. I think, you're talking about atmospheres. You look around, I think the Oklahoma tweet went viral. I think they only had like 5,000 people there. The Alabama open practice, man, it was totally different. I think Georgia, by far, from what I saw, had the biggest spring attendance. I was very surprised on a Masters weekend that many people. It was every bit of 35,000. The lower bowl was pretty much all full.
Rusty, do you think moving forward that spring games are going to continue in the same fashion that they have? I mean, with how college football is changing, I could almost see this moving towards an OTA/mini camp mm-hmm. type situation just like the NFL does.
Yeah, I said that a couple of years ago. A couple of people kind of like, no way, but it's just going to be limited reps. It's going to be in contracts. But as long as Kirby Smart has the ability to control this, I don't think it'll ever be on TV again because he can control the pace of practice. But to have an environment, to have your players compete in front of a crowd, I think he really thrives on that. I think he really enjoyed that. But, you know, talking to some people in Athens on Friday, they were like, Kirby wants to control the pace. He won't sit there and go through freaking TV timeouts and all that. He wants to be able to get his guys in and out. They played 15-minute quarters in a little over 2 hours. So they were in and out. Efficient, ran a lot of plays. Georgia passed the ball 83 times, too. So I think Kirby got what he wanted on Saturday.
Can you talk about, obviously, Georgia fans salivating at the notion that the passing game might be at a different level than we've seen? I mean, obviously, we're 2 years removed from Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey, so not to say we didn't have absolute studs, but it seems deeper, and it seems more of an emphasis. What were your thoughts on that?
Oh, boy, the first quarter they had like three drops, and I went, oh, my God, here we go again. I mean, I'm talking about routine drops, quarterbacks hitting you right in the hands and got dropped. But I will say as the game went on, you see Zachariah Branch catch a ball with a defender all over. You see freshman C.J. Wiley out of Milton. They throw a back shoulder ball, Drew. He catches it one hand on the sideline, and you see Kobe Young. Kobe Young's different. Like, there's a lot of guys down there. There's a lot of players down there. But if I'm facing Georgia, that's the guy that gives me worries. He caught two balls in the end zone. So you're excited for Georgia. Tylan Taylor was great. To me, the football nerd in me, these guys catching balls with defenders all over them is what you didn't see last year at all from Georgia, and I saw that on Saturday.
On the defensive side of the ball, what should Georgia fans be looking out for? Maybe who's a player who could really start to make some noise as fall camp approaches throughout the summer that could be a breakout player for the Dogs in 2025?
Well, I think if you pay attention to Georgia day to day, people know this name, Chris Cole. He was a five-star linebacker out of Virginia last year. Kind of made an appearance in that Texas game. When you go back, the football nerd in me goes back and watches both Texas games. The Texas tight end had one catch against him. This is 6'4". He was the number one player in Virginia last year. Justin Williams, number one linebacker in America last year. These guys are in their second spring. I think Georgia's really loaded there. The portal opens on Wednesday. There's going to be a lot of things going on. We could probably talk the next 2 hours about that. I think Georgia needs some edge help. Losing Damon Wilson late to Missouri really hurt their depth there. I think Georgia's going to be very aggressive in the edge, and I think Georgia's going to spin. I think Georgia could add an edge pass rusher in this portal window that could really make a difference on their defense. We'll see what they do. Gabe Harris, the guy they project in the start, but he's been out all spring, had shoulder surgery. So there's some room there for Georgia to improve. I think they're, you know, who you think they're on defense. They're very deep. I don't know if they've got a Michael Williams or Malachi Starks, anybody like that right now. But I do think this team as a whole is going to be very good defensively again. The whole buzz this weekend was this home schedule, talking to people. Sounds like, Drew, a lot of people in Athens are like, hey, I'll VRBO this thing because there's not enough room. There's not enough supply. And these Texas and Alabama fans and Ole Miss fans are coming to Athens one way or another. It's going to be interesting how they're able to get into town and how many tickets they actually are able to get their hands on.
When you say the portal is opening on Wednesday, obviously that will become a huge talking point throughout the week. Are there any targets that Georgia has on their radar or that you're aware of right now from Dogs HQ?
Yeah, they're definitely some targets. They got to go in schools to other places first. So you hear that rumor like, hey, so-and-so's going in. Well, you know, you want to see if the kid goes in. And that's the way. Look, I'll say it now. There was all kind of rumors that Michael Williams was going to go in last year. There were rumors of USC and him. He never went in, and Georgia was able to, you know, keep him around. And so you'll see. That's what I've learned with this. You always see these rumors about this kid is going in, this kid. This thing's only open for 10 days this time. We'll talk a lot more, and I'll listen to you guys about Nico. I think at the end of the day, this is what's going to put the nail in the coffin on the May portal window, is this is a terrible look for college football.
Horrible.
It's a bad look for the product. I mean, I don't care who you are. If you got any ability to make a change, you got to be sitting somewhere today going, guys, this has got to stop. I think this is going to be the overall thing that's going to say, we're going to stop this thing. Negotiate your deal in January. Get your money. Do what you need to do. But you're going to spend 11 months with your team. You're going to have a contract just like everybody else does in the professional leagues. Develop and compete with your team for the next 11 months. We paid you. You got your deal done. This coming back, yeah, I don't know if you saw Josh Pate said last night that kids were trying to renegotiate their deals before playoff games last year, not just Nico. Kids saying, look, I signed a contract for 12 games. We're playing extra games. So this is a mess. They got to fix it, but they got to get rid of this May window. They got to get rid of this May window. Yeah, it's a mess.
Rusty Manziel, co-host of The Steakhouse, joining us on a Monday as we talk about a busy weekend, to say the least. Rusty, your thoughts on the whole weekend at Augusta, particularly yesterday in those final few hours?
I don't know how they keep getting better down there, man, but the weather really helped them out. And just talking to people that were down there and different things. I listened to what you guys are talking about. I saw your post about being at a party. I got a text this morning at 6 o'clock from my daughter Kaylee. She said, "Dad, it's been a long time since I've cried about a sporting event." She said, "I'm still like, I'm still rattled watching that." And when you talking about a 24-year-old kid or young lady, the next morning still kind of juiced about that event. I watched it yesterday. I could not believe it. And I'll say this, man, you got to feel for Rory, because I'm telling you, had he lost that, you don't get over something like that and the way that went down. So good for him. I saw the raw emotion of what it was like, but kudos to Augusta, man. That place is different. There's no other place on the earth like that. There's no sporting event like that on earth. I don't care if you're a fan or not. No phones. You have to be dialed in. Kudos to that whole city and organization, because that is world class.
Yeah, you're talking about just the moment and being able to recognize that throughout the broadcast. When Rory walked off the green, Stake, I'm not sure Jim Nantz said anything. I mean, you could just hear all the fans cheering.
I think they went about
4 or 5. You can hear him talking and hugging people.
I think they went 4 or 5 minutes with zero announcer.
Incredible.
Zero. And I pointed out to folks, you realize you haven't heard, other than the call of Nantz calling the, you know, winning putt, they literally just said, let the pictures, and I was rewinding at some point, and just, you know, it's Rory, and then it's Justin Rose, and then it's the patrons, and then it's back to Rory, and then it's Shane Lowry meeting him,
yep.
and then it's
yep.
the tears, and then it's that, you know, HD close-up shot of him walking through with, you know, the tears coming from him. I mean, it's just incredible television.
Yeah, it really
the
is.
Drama. I mean, it's the incredible. Way that they're just bouncing around, and then everybody's like, I can't wait to hear him. And then somebody... And I think my wife said it, and she doesn't watch a lot of sports to me. She's like, this Butler cabin looks like an SNL skit. Like, it always does, though. It does, yeah. though. I mean, you've been in the Butler cabin?
I've not been inside.
Okay. But, dude, that little setup
yeah.
and the way they have to talk to each other, and then Scotty's sitting there like, dude, and especially when they have the amateur there, because that's even more awkward. So, again, the amateur doesn't get invited if they don't make the cut.
No amateur made the cut this year,
right.
so the low amateur
Which,
did not get
Think about that. They would have had the low amateur, Rusty, and, you know, they always get the first interview. So that kid would have been sitting there. They would have been doing like 3 minutes with him.
Unbelievable.
Right?
Hey, reminding me of me sitting in the principal's office with my dad. You have to sit there all proper and be quiet and don't say nothing. Don't incriminate yourself.
Speak when spoken to, Rusty.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, that would have been.
Yes, sir. It was great, though, man. Great event. They do a great
job. Oh, it was amazing.
You know, it's crazy. You know, we talked about last week. I did hear at stake. I did hear this week that some of these corporations do spend $100,000 or more on houses. Do they have to
No, no question.
Yeah, but the individuals, yeah, they're it's around 30 or 40 is what I'm hearing. I'm fascinated, stuff like that. You got to be
they have,
9 days.
They have clusters. They have clusters where – corporations yeah. spending $250,000 for 4 or 5 houses.
Right.
And that's where they bring yeah. in the talent right yeah. in between them.
Yeah.
Billy Andrade, longtime PGA player and friend of the show. He's on the Champions Tour. He'll tell us his thoughts from Augusta. No better commentator than Billy. That's at 10:30. Rusty, talk to you. We'll see you on Friday.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Rusty.
Great insight from the G-Day game as well. When we come back, more on a crazy weekend. The Braves are in trouble. The Hawks are going to Orlando. And the Masters captivates America. It's the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're at a golf tournament. Where else would we want to be on a Monday after the Masters? Berkeley Hills Country Club, Green Hat Classic. The Kyle Peace Foundation is the benefactor. And wow, what a time in sports, and what a time to be sitting on a microphone and having you guys listen on the Odyssey app, and hopefully you are listening on the Odyssey app all over. I got to imagine we're getting some check-ins, some, you know, like Atlanta's the home port for the Masters, right? It's almost like another pro sport for us. Nobody understands the tournament better than we do. Nobody probably has more members than the you know folks living in and around Atlanta.
Yeah.
Nobody had more people that actually were at the tournament than the folks listening to us.
Right.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Love to hear the atmosphere. Love to hear how big the galleries were yesterday. It's funny, even when I talk about the Masters, I'm worried about them taking away my broadcast rights, and I'm not there. Like, you can't say, you're not supposed to say back nine. It's the second nine.
Yep. You're not allowed to say driving range. You're supposed to say tournament practice area.
You can't obviously ever use the word. It's a mob at the eighth green, because yep. then you'll be banned.
Not
for
supposed
life.
To say fans, because that's fanatics. You're supposed to say patrons.
Yes, but we're allowed to hear. Mike Conti doesn't care.
I won't do that. I will abide by Augusta.
I know.
National
it's like I get nervous listening. Even talking about it. It's the craziest thing. So lots more on that coming up, including a bunch of stuff from Rory McIlroy. I would say for my buddy here, Joe Salome, who is this is his tournament. Can we set him up with his microphone there? Yes, sir.
My bad.
Is this your first day in radio? What the hell's going on here? Huh? Get
around.
In nice and tight.
I've been around a few days.
Yeah, you have. So you're the head honcho at the Georgia Hemp Company.
Yes,
explain
sir.
What this tournament's all about.
Well, this tournament started 4 years ago. We partnered with the Kyle Pease Foundation, who empowers disabled individuals to participate in sports. So I partner with Kyle and Brent. Kyle's in the wheelchair, and Brent pushes him through races. They just finished the Ironman in Kona last year.
Wow, jeez.
So this group, I was just attracted to it from day one. Kyle's also a Kennesaw State University graduate, such as myself. And so just, you know, bringing the connection just brought me even further to them.
Go Owls.
Yeah, go Owls.
So watching young people get that opportunity, there's a program over at NYO not far from where I live where they do a number of things, kids with Down syndrome and kids that are disabled and, you know, haven't been around Camp Twin Lakes enough times and seeing how opportunities for kids that don't have the chance to be in athletics mm-hmm. in the same capacity. Mm-hmm. I mean, you miss out. You know, you really miss out, which is why it's such a great cause.
You're taken out of the general activities that we enjoy as kids. We enjoy as adults. Even you still play basketball, right?
Yeah, and well, so, relatively speaking.
Not with that back pain.
Yeah.
But that's exactly is giving these individuals the opportunity to get out there just like we did.
Yeah.
And to your point, I see it every year at NYO. And actually, Kyle was part of that years ago when he was a child. And so just to continue to provide these opportunities is what this is all about, yeah.
So tell everybody about the Georgia Hemp Company. We've known each other a long time. Now you're some big executive. You got all these different stores. You're front and center. No new laws passed. Everything's good. Can we say that?
Yeah, all the regulations that were set to be passed this year were not. They were all killed. All the bills were killed. So we call it.
Okay, yeah.
So that's good. Nothing changed for us. We just had changes 6 months ago in our industry here in Georgia. We just regulated hemp. Basically, we gave legal pathways for businesses to participate.
Yep.
That's why you have distributors like Eagle Rock and United out here today with THC beverages that they're now distributing.
Gotcha.
So we have them out here on the course. These are things you're going to find in your gas station, your local hemp store. Yeah, it can be at bars locally.
I would imagine the term sober curious, which is now like a real term,
mm-hmm.
is a really good thing for your industry.
Do you smell that in the air? I'm sorry to interrupt.
I do smell that in the air.
That's nice. Nice.
So who is that? Where's that coming from?
That could be one of 100.
The golfers are exiting to the golf course.
They're there.
But I mean, I'm going to tell you that this generation understands that they're, you know.
It's options.
There's a healthier way. I mean, listen. I don't want to get into whether it's drinking or smoking or any of those different, you know, outlets. But you hear the word sober curious, which is folks that are turning to options like you have, gummies and things like that, right?
Gummies, beverages, even mushroom is an option, right?
Yeah.
We're looking for things that aren't going to adversely affect our bodies, big picture. And Steak, you know, working in this industry as long as we have, the alcohol is always around us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I always fought. You know, back at Radio Vietnam was how do I not always have to participate in this?
Right.
And cannabis was always my go-to.
Yeah.
Remember our boy 3D used to walk around making sure we were all kind of had our good stuff.
When we used to go to the studios, he had the late night show, 3D.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd care. I was telling Dennis Scott, let's just say, it was what are we used to talk about? You get a contact high watching the overnights.
Oh, God.
At 790. So. And God bless him. Now he's crushing it.
He's crushing it.
MBNTT. Anyway, we appreciate you having us. Great, great cause. Congrats on all your success.
Thank you.
I literally said, there's not a better day of 365. You get the day after the Masters.
Perfect.
These dudes are so jonesing to hit.
They're so jonesing.
It's crazy.
I'm jonesing to hit too.
I know.
Come on, we're all.
And this guy's a one. By the way,
let's get you out there.
Let's do it.
So, this is the best day for golf of the year, day after the Masters.
Beautiful.
Everybody out here is jonesing to hit in more way than one.
Yes. and as Joe said, all those laws got killed. So you're having a really good friggin' day.
We're having a great day. We're celebrating 420. We're having a great time, and I can't thank you enough for being out here.
It's great to see your beautiful daughter as well. Always.
Thank you, sir.
Yay, she looks great. All right, let's get back to Roy McIlroy, and let's hear what he had to say. Obviously, high drama in the sports world. And here is Rory explaining what yesterday meant.
I would say it was 14 years in the making from, you know, going out with the 4-shot lead in 2011. You know, feeling like I could have got it done there. And yeah, there was a lot of pent up emotion that just came out on that 18th green. And a moment like that makes all the years and all the close calls worth it.
Do you think it's fair to say that now that Rory has that Masters monkey off his back, he's got the green jacket, he's completed the career Grand Slam, that the shackles are off? Because
I
the
heard
next
people
major
say
championship
it. Yeah.
is at Quail Hollow Club in Charlotte for the PGA Championship. Rory's won there four times.
Yeah, he's about to go on a run is what some people think. I didn't ask you about some of the other storylines over the weekend. First of all, Scottie Scheffler scuffling a little bit, right?
Yep, scuffling a little bit. Patrick Reed made an eagle on 17.
Dude,
he missed a
ridiculous.
Short putt earlier in the round, which would have gotten him into the playoff. My classmate, a former Georgia Bulldog, Harris English, shot 4-under on the second nine yesterday. He finishes T12, so he gets an automatic invite back to the Masters next year.
Anybody else jump out of you for how they played?
Well, we got to give you some love in the Calcutta. You did win the Calcutta. I did pick the winner in Rory McIlroy. I was a little bit surprised. My boys Sepp Straka and Russell Henley struggled on Thursday. They both missed the cut. And that
what was the key to my group?
You had a lot of people make the cut.
Okay.
Yeah, and that
you
was
and Rusty
key.
Had two guys miss the cut.
That's right.
Right,
so we were out.
Okay, Sandy wanted to win so bad. She was at Augusta. She'll tell us about
her
first experience there.
Yeah, I saw that. And, I had a bunch of friends from the athletic club. They went over to the lake, and they did the Friday thing at the lake, played some golf, and then head over to Augusta on Saturday. You cannot talk about how good the weather was this weekend. It looked spectacular on TV yesterday. It was perfect. It was an absolutely perfect 89th Masters tournament. Rory McIlroy wins. Just awesome storylines all around.
We sat outside my buddy's house for one of those Masters parties, which is now becoming, I feel like, more and more a thing, kind of like the Derby and now the Masters.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to Atlanta have a party for the final round or for the Saturday round. And the weather was just insanely nice yesterday.
So good.
To be able to sit and watch. All right, here is more Rory McIlroy.
It feels incredible. This is my 17th time here, and I started to wonder if it would ever be my time. And I think, the last 10 years coming here with the burden of the Grand Slam on my shoulders and trying to achieve that, I'm sort of wondering what we're all going to talk about going into next year's Masters. But I'm just absolutely honored and thrilled and just so proud to be able to call myself a Masters champion.
14 years since his last major championship. If you watched all of the coverage after the Masters last night, every other Grand Slam winner stake accomplished the Grand Slam in pretty quick fashion.
Yep.
Tiger Woods one time. These guys are on the top of their game when they're collecting their major championships. So when you hear Rory talk about the burden that he had, 14 years.
Yeah, 14 years in between majors. 17 years coming to the Masters,
yes.
But 14 years with an opportunity.
That burden is real that he's talking about. Very, very, very real.
Well, you saw it because he's on his knees and literally couldn't control his emotions for a long time. It really was more about relief than adulation, or elation, I should say.
And you could tell. You could tell that he was great relief.
But he was unraveling.
Yes.
It's like, talking to you, who's a scratch golfer, and explaining that, even going to the bunker on 18, when it was all set up for you, missing the eagle putt at 15, was it? And then missing on the putt on 18 as well when you bail yourself out. It's like, holy smokes, incredible, life-changing shot, missed the putt. Holy smokes, another, eagle setup, missed the putt.
Right.
And you're like, is this guy going to be able to? Or then he goes in, he goes into the water at what, 13?
13. Inexplicable. Can't believe he laid up first. And then he just absolutely olays an 89-yard wedge shot, leaves it short, goes into the water. He's got a drop on the other side of the water.
Rory McIlroy would start to become
Greg Norman 2.0.
Well, yeah. No
Greg
question.
Norman 2.0.
And he's already had moments. Yes. Now, DeChambeau beat him in the
U.S. Open last year at Pinehurst.
Now, Bryson DeChambeau has let everybody know that Rory McIlroy didn't say a word to him, wouldn't talk to him. We're going to ask Billy Andre, is that even worth noting? I mean, felt like Rory McIlroy was trying to be dialed in, but Bryson wanted folks to know there was no chit-chat going on. We'll talk to Billy Andre.
I can't wait. I love Billy Andre.
Yeah, he is. He's a gem. went on the tour for years. He's on the Champions Tour now. Rhode Island native, Atlantan resident. We'll talk to Billy coming back. And lots more on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's a Monday in the Steakhouse. Back to our 9 to 11 shift. Really enjoyed our 4 hours last week. And I got this lower back. I had back spasms and all kinds of stuff last week. And we're here, as luck would have it, at the Green Hat Classic, Kyle Pease Foundation. And Joe Salome, who runs it, just said, dude, I got something for that. I got something for that pain you have. So
nice.
We'll just see what he comes
all
up
right.
with.
All right. I like that.
You just don't know.
I like that program.
I assume they – I will tell you this. Isn't people going to get after today? I mean, if ever there was a day to throw caution to the wind on a Monday and say, all due respect, I'm at a charity golf classic boss, this is one of those absolute spectacular days that Augusta really got all weekend long as well.
Yeah, and you talk about, too, like our listeners being so close to the Masters, attending the Masters, Masters parties, what Atlanta means to that tournament. It's unique in the sense of last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, a lot of your bosses and contemporaries are not working.
Yeah,
they're in Augusta. They're watching live stream at the office.
And nobody understands, you know, what that tournament means, like the city of Atlanta. And I promise you that in sports talk radio all over the country, they'll be talking about it. But we just kind of made a decision here. There's just too many folks on the fringe that maybe aren't, you know, total golf
yep.
fans, but they're either sports fans or just, you know, they got immersed in the Rory story. And a guy that knows Rory and knows the story better than anybody, friend of the show, Billy Andrade, longtime PGA commentator, player. Billy, that was something yesterday, man, huh? Where were you for it? And take me through your thoughts.
I was home here in Atlanta. I took my daughter to see the Eagles on Friday night and flew back, and I wanted to be back to watch the final round and got home on a red eye and sat on my couch and watched it like I watch it every year. I love watching the final round at home with it was just my wife and I. And, you know, exhaustion would be my first word, my first adjective to use of just like, oh, my gosh, as a player who's played in the tournament many times, to see a player go through a roller coaster of emotion. And I mean, everybody wanted this to be the Rory Bryson duel, you know, this match play duel. Well, that was over very quickly. Bryson didn't have it. And, you know, the flips from 1 to 3 and 4,
yeah.
Those two shot swings, and then,
wild.
You know, just crazy. And then from there, it was a duel between Rory and Rory's mind
and
trying to stay in the present and trying to just hit one shot at a time. And then he walks up to the, after birdie and 9, he walks up to the 10th tee, and I turned to my wife and she said, don't say a word. Don't say a word. Don't say what everybody's thinking, which is he had this same opportunity with a 4-shot lead with 9 holes to go. And he ended up shooting 80 and finishing 15th. And it took him that long to get back to where he had this opportunity again. So I didn't say anything. And then he birdies 10. And, you know, now he goes to 11 and misses the fairway to the right. Very fortunate he didn't hit it in the water there, the
so
ball
lucky.
To stay up. That hardly ever happens. You know, that ball kicked off that. See, what people don't understand that haven't been there, that second shot is straight downhill in the everything, the lay of the land, everything funnels to the, you know, to Ray's Creek and to the pond on the left. And that ball staying up was just amazing. Nervy chip there. Nervy putt. He's made it seemed like he had made every right to lefter up until 11, and then he missed that one low. Did a great job on 12 to get that ball where he did, to where he could two putt that, And then interesting on 13, you know, here's a man who's made two eagles and a birdie there in his three rounds. So that's his, you know, comfort hole. And he lays up off the tee with a three wood and then lays up. And then a shot that I think shocked every single person in America.
I asked Drew about it in terms to talk about as a pro at that level. First, laying up, Drew, you said it yourself, couldn't believe it, right?
Yeah, and Billy, he has 252 in there. I mean, I know the camber on the fairway is certainly tilted, ball's way above your feet, but to me, with how Rory was swinging it, I thought that was a green light special. Worst case scenario, put it in one of the back bunkers, chipping a putt, and you're not making double.
Well, Drew, but think about it. He hit 7-iron and 6-iron into that hole, you know, the first day, the first 3 days. So he laid up off the tee. He knew he was going to lay up. He had 252. Yeah, that's go on, you know, on a Wednesday, but not on Sunday when you have a big lead in the Masters. You have to lay up there, and you're the one of the best players in the world. Now his, you know, his bugaboo is he's not a great wedge player, and he had 86 yards, but he had everything to the left. He had you know, almost 25 yards left of that flag where he could just bump and run it. And to hit the shot that he hit was, oh my gosh, that's total nerves. That's total, you know, blanking out. It happens. It goes to show you that it doesn't matter if you're one of the best players in the world. This stuff can happen, especially with everything he's been through the last 11 years of trying to get to this point. But when you had a cushion like that, very, very shocking. And then he follows it up on the next hole with a bogey, and like, oh my gosh, this is going to be the worst nightmare you've ever seen. And then in Rory fashion, to come back with, okay, you know what, I got nothing to lose again. Here comes the roller coaster. Let's go back up it. And he hits probably one of the greatest shots I've ever seen in my life.
Unbelievable.
Unreal. On 15, you're talking about, and then he misses the eagle putt. Did you notice anything, having been around, you know, guys at that level and Rory and everything else? I mean, was there any sign that he was – was he rushing his putts? Was he too long out on the fairway, and they said he was taking more time than normal? Was there anything about looking in his eyes that you said or were reading anything? Because whatever you were reading, next second later, he probably surprised you.
Yeah, I would say, Stake, that, you know, he got just tentative on the putts coming in. You know, the 13, he missed the putt to the right for bogey. 14, he just kind of curled it. He almost made it. He missed that to the right. 15, you know, I don't know if he rushed it, but, you know, that putt there broke a little left. He missed that one left. So, you know, he missed the putt on 16. Those were all very, very quick, delicate putts. And the thing that, you know, that people at home watching don't understand is the greens got really crusty. They got faster. They were the fastest they've been all week. You know, they dried out. His shot into 17, he was saying, get up, get up, get up. And that ball hit from the middle of the fairway, or the right side of the fairway there. That ball normally, you know, earlier in the week would hit and stop, and he would have had maybe a 25-footer. That ball bounced up and got up there fairly close, which was an unbelievable shot in that birdie there. And then he comes back and does it again on 18 with a wedge. I mean, that is a stock wedge. For the best player in the world, and you miss the green to the right in the bunker. Oh my gosh, I was off my couch at that point.
Billy and Billy Andre with us, by the way, on Sports Radio 92.9.
So Billy, how all of that is unraveling, and you mentioned Rory making the double on 13. Simultaneously, Justin Rose makes a 25-foot bomb birdie putt on 18 to get in the clubhouse at 11 under. What is it like for Justin Rose to have to stay ready on the range for over an hour and then understands you're in a playoff, get in the cart, we're going back to 18T, and then, of course, Rory hits the shot of his career, gets to redo that 125-yard wedge shot from the middle of the fairway on 18 and stuffs it to 2.5 feet.
Yeah, I think that Justin Rose, when you're the player in that situation, you've just died and gone to heaven. You know, he lost the tournament on Saturday afternoon on 16, and in his finish, you know, he had a chance to go to 8 under and be, you know, 3 or 4 shots off the lead going to Sunday, and he stumbles coming in, and now he's 5 under going to Sunday, and he's got nothing to lose and goes out and, I mean, 10 birdies on Sunday is just amazing.
Crazy,
unbelievable
insane.
Round.
To hammer, you know, a 66 on Sunday and hit that on 18, like DeChambeau hit 18 the day before. I want to ask, a minute left. Bryson DeChambeau is talking about that Rory never spoke to him the entire round. They had no interaction. I think he put it out there. I don't know what he, you know, it's big social media news today. Does that surprise you at all? I mean, given what was at stake for Rory McIlroy, I don't know. It feels like he was just dialed in, and I'm not surprised by it. Is that your reaction to that?
Stake, we're not playing in a pro-am. This is the final round of
exactly.
Matches.
Right.
There's no love here.
Right.
You know, he's another player that's trying to get in my way. I played with Tiger Woods many times on the PGA Tour. He didn't say one word to me, and it wasn't like you know, I walked away going, "Oh,
right.
Oh
right,
man,
right.
I can't believe he doesn't want to be my friend." This
right.
isn't about being friends here.
No, I mean, what's
winning.
There to say? Yeah, what is there to say? I'm trying to get the biggest monkey in golf history off my back, and you're also a rival. You're a Ryder Cup rival. You're, you know, I mean, what is there to chit chat about? Yeah,
there's no chit chat. You know what?
Yeah, I don't.
If we're doing a pro-am party, that's one thing. I'll say hi to you. But you know what? Listen, this is the final round. This is my chance.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say to you, and vice versa.
Most folks root for Rory McIlroy around golf and players in general.
Absolutely, I think, you know, he's a classy guy.
Yeah.
I've gotten to know him when he first came over. His first tournament was the Memorial, and he came right up to me and introduced himself. He's got his mom and dad are great folks. He's definitely a guy you want to root for. And you know what, guys, he's been through a lot, especially the last couple years with the whole LIV thing. The PGA Tour put him on their back, and he was the spokesperson. And he got he got right in the mix of it. He had to do all the interviews. He got in the mix with all the players. You know, a lot of players were not happy with his direction.
They're cutting a deal with him, and they put him in that situation. So,
and he ended up stepping down from the PGA Tour because it was a little too much, and he wanted to focus more on his golf game. So, you know, I give the guy a lot of credit. You know, he was the spokesperson for a while, and you know, then he stepped away. And And to get this monkey off his back, you know what? You know, you talk about the greatest wins ever in Augusta history, 86 Masters, 97 when Tiger won by 12 shots, and then Tiger again in 2019. You can rank this one up there with those three great wins.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks, Billy. Always great to get your perspective.
All right. Love you guys. Take care.
Love you too, Billy. Thank you, man. We'll see Billy in a couple weeks at TPC Sugarloaf for the Mitsubishi Electric Classic on the PGA Tour Champions, which I am extremely excited to cover.
All right. We'll come back, play some Three Strikes. Got to say hello to two pretty ladies that just showed up here with these two right here.
That would be my beautiful wife, Jackie, and Miss Olivia Butler, my 2-year-old.
Wow.
Hey, ladies.
Wow. She is very happy to see Daddy. We're wrapping it up here from the Berkeley Hill Country Club, Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, Stake Shapiro, Drew Butler, hanging out on a beautiful day.
We got G-Money in the house, too, at Berkeley Hills Golf Club.
I miss G-Money. He's, he's rocking and rolling, doing his thing, right, G?
Yeah, so, man, just trying to be like you guys, man. Good to be back out here with y'all.
Yeah, well, we appreciate seeing you. We haven't talked a lot of Braves. Maybe that's a good thing for the Braves. Not a good weekend in that spring training facility over there. That is a weird thing to watch,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was certainly interesting. And you know what's funny is that the Athletics are out in Sacramento, California. I believe they're playing in a similar setup.
Yeah, no, they got two minor league / spring training facilities. But listen, the Braves are not in a good place right now. And Toronto is not a place to get healthy when you see the rotation that, I think you were talking about it, who the Jays are sending out. Although we got the two Spencers on Tuesday and Wednesday. This is a tough little deal.
Yeah, the Toronto Blue Jays right now are leading the American League East. They're 9-7 overall, and they're going to bring out three heavy hitters on the mound. Hopefully, Spencer Strider gets active on Wednesday. I believe that's correct, G. And everybody says as the overtures are being sent right now, it seems like that's going to happen, barring any unforeseen setbacks.
Yeah, he went out through a side yesterday, if he doesn't have any setbacks today, then he's going to be officially announced as the Wednesday starter. That's my expectation, based on my conversations with Grant McCauley on my right before my show yesterday. He should be good to go. But Spencer Schwalenbach on Tuesday, that's a pretty good setup. Grant Holmes, the expectation, or at least the hope, don't do a lot with that bullpen. Try to go as deep into the game as you can. That's been his biggest emphasis here in the early parts of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a scuffling kind of time right now for the Braves. I mean, it's not, you know, you don't recover from Jerkson Profar and Ronaldo Lopez and Ronald Acuna not there till May and Spencer Strider missing the first 2 weeks and Chris Sale looking, unfortunately, a little bit like the Chris Sale from Boston a few years ago than the Chris Sale that won the essentially Triple Crown last year. So he is so hard on himself. You read all the quotes after yesterday's game. He beats himself up. He says he's as frustrated as he's been at any point in his career. It's just, you know, just
that's sports, man. I mean, this guy was on top of the world last year. He was unstoppable. Yeah, Cy Young Award winner.
He's the reason they even got in the postseason. There's no question about it. By the way, the 10 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one pressure washing company. The big game tonight we just told you about is the Braves tonight, brought to you by John Foy and Associates. Anything I can share with you about the NBA playoffs that we need to chat about, you know.
Let's ask you the famous Steak Shapiro question. Tomorrow night, Hawks Magic, you got $100. Which side are you pushing it towards?
Are we betting the game?
Money line.
Yeah, I like Orlando. I like Orlando at home.
Wow.
I like Paolo Banchero and Wagner. I like they've been more consistent. And, you know, listen, as great signs as there have been for Dyson Daniels and Zachary Risacher and Jalen when he was playing and the year that Trey has had, you know, we're an 8 seed and we're under 500 and – you know, Orlando is not much better, but they had real massive injuries early on, and they're playing at home. And I'm going to tell you, we could get a win and play the Celtics.
Yep.
Or we could be playing Miami and Chicago. Both have been super hot the last month, and we could find ourselves out of the playoffs altogether. So I don't know, man.
Season series, Hawks and Magic, they played four times. Of course, yesterday, a game that did not matter. The Hawks won. More recently, April the 8th. The Magic beat the Hawks 119-112.
Yeah, that was the big game, and they handled them. Anthony Edwards in Minnesota, a first round 4 out of 7 against Luka Doncic and the Lakers. That's very, very interesting. That'll be fun. The playoffs in general, a lot of heavy hitters. And, you know, in the Eastern Conference, it's kind of like can anybody touch Boston or Cleveland. In the West, Golden State in the mix, obviously, with Jimmy Butler. And, you know, the Lakers with Luka in the mix. And then, of course, Oklahoma City looks just like, you know, a absolute juggernaut. Let me give you our three strikes questions. Just let me do this.
Okay.
The last time you cried watching sports, other than yesterday, was there anything that ever brought you to tears? The party I went to yesterday, now Drew's kind of a bougie guy. He appreciates the finer things in life. So I didn't have to educate him about Gold Belly. Do you know what that is, G? Do you know? I don't need you to nod. I need you to speak to me. Do you know what? Sorry, I don't mean to be. But do you know what Gold Belly is?
I don't know.
Have you heard of Gold Belly?
I don't know Gold Belly.
Gold Belly is every restaurant in America.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's Stone Crab.
Giordano's Pizza in Chicago. Lobster Rolls in Maine.
Yeah. It's what's the New Haven Pizza, Pepe's Pizza.
Yeah, what's the specialty?
They will. It's Katz's Deli.
Yep.
They deliver the exact meal from that restaurant, all wrapped up, from any restaurant in the country, right? Maybe the world. So yesterday, the Masters they're on Gold Belly. So I walked into this party yesterday, the exact egg salad, the exact pimento, the exact chicken salad, the exact beef, chips, everything, all the Masters logos. If you could have Gold Belly, you could have a restaurant deliver anywhere in the country deliver to you tonight, what would that meal be? What would that meal be? And finally, your drink of choice for the golf course. Transfusion seems to have taken over the world.
Yes.
Are you familiar with the transfusion?
Oh, I know that. I heard a couple transfusions being ordered at the bar just inside just a moment
ago. Yeah, I do see a fair amount of styrofoam cups here before 11 a.m. at Berkeley Hills Country Club.
No judging.
Which I'm a fan of. Hey, it's an early start.
No judging, right? Perhaps you're not as sober curious as this new generation, and that's okay, too.
You can't drink all day unless you start in the morning.
That is true.
Drink your choice for the golf course. The restaurant in the world that you most would want to deliver, let's just say in America tonight, and the last time you cried, if ever, watching sports. I'd like some full phone lines. Drew's family is right in our midst. We don't want to embarrass him. And his wife wondering, why doesn't anybody call your show for three strikes? 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Lots to get to this week. Sandy back in the house, her first ever trip to Augusta. We pushed off things I learned to tomorrow. Because of Billy Andre.
Yep, that was awesome. Thanks to Billy for calling in. Adam Elsis on X right now. He's been listening. He says you can't forget Rory won the Players this year as well. So then the list of Grand Slam golfers who also won the Players shrinks even more. Only Rory, Jack, and Tiger.
Grand Slam golfers that also won the Players.
Yeah,
those three. And also a happy Passover to our Jewish listeners.
Yes.
Because it's a hard time if you're staying on the program. You know, you're not supposed to eat any bread or no yeast, no pasta, no bread. So, Mom, do not look at my Instagram story from yesterday. Do not look at the Instagram story from yesterday.
You and I are big White Lotus fans.
Yes.
Did you see the SNL spoof called The White POTUS?
Hysterical.
I thought it was
so funny. I thought the episode was John Hamm.
Yeah,
he
did a great job.
He's a king. They did The White POTUS. It was hysterical.
So funny.
So good. And I heard that a member of the staff, the girl with the tooth, didn't like it. I said, get over yourself.
That was so funny.
Yeah, they hit pretty big with John Hamm the other night. All right, let's rock and roll. All right, let's enjoy our last few minutes together here. Hope you enjoyed all our Masters coverage today with Drew Butler and Tyler and Ackworth playing along. The last time you remember crying from a sporting event, Tyler?
Honestly, my Braves winning the World Series, man. I'm a homer. It meant everything.
That's a good one. That's a good one, man. The restaurant in America you'd want delivered to your house tonight?
Oh, my God. The Golden Steer and... down the Golden Steer out in downtown Las Vegas, like kind of Freeman area. Dude, the best bone-in ribeye. They make Caesar dressing table side.
I've heard
all the mobsters ate it was killer.
Yeah, I've heard great things about it. I don't know why that hasn't been in my repertoire yet. Give me the drink of choice on the golf course.
Man, as you said earlier, transfusions are great, but if not, we got to have the dad waters with the Michelob Ultras.
Yeah, Mick Ultras are good. You know what I like? Freshy Tequila Seltzer. Tequila Seltzer, Freshy. It's organic. They got a flavor, blood orange habanero. Yes.
So,
very, very good. Freshy Tequila Seltzer.
No little extra on top there because you're eating
you can certainly do that with some Authentico tequila.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call. By the way, the ingredients in the what are we
transfusion,
talking about?
Ginger ale, vodka, splash of grape, and a lime.
Yes. Thank you. Craig in Woodstock. The last time you cried, the last time you cried, Craig, watching sports.
Yesterday, watching Rory, tears rolling down my face.
Wow.
It was emotional numerous times. Hey, give me the meal in America you'd want delivered to your house tonight.
Laurie's Prime Rib from Beverly Hills.
Awesome. Sweet. What's your drink of choice for the golf course?
Margarita on the rocks.
Oh, I like that, too. Thank you, buddy. By the way, the last time you cried is other than Rory yesterday.
Gotcha.
Because everybody got a little teary yesterday. Let's keep rocking and rolling with Joe in Buford. Hey, Joe, the last time you cried watching sports other than yesterday with Rory?
2003, Syracuse beating Kansas for the basketball championship.
That was the Carmelo Anthony.
Yep.
What was it? Who's the kid who blocked the shot? Warwick?
Yep, Hakeem Warwick.
Hakeem Warwick.
Gary McNamara hit. Yeah.
Seven threes the first half, right?
Six, but very close. Very good memory, Steak.
Yes, in the first half. The meal you most want delivered tonight to your home?
Well, I'd have to go back to my old hometown. There's one of the best Italian restaurants in the state of New York, Joey's Fine Dining, and I would order the veal.
Parmesan.
Francais.
Oh, Francais.
Now, veal Francais peppered with artichoke hearts. It's incredible.
I love this question.
Yeah, that's a great question.
People just thinking about their favorite meals in America. Hey, what's your drinker's choice on the golf course?
Yeah, I do like the transfusion if I'm not having a beer. So,
good stuff.
I'd go Scaliantella. Jackie and I went there for our anniversary. Amazing Italian restaurant, Upper East Side, like East 62nd. Just
there is. I've been to Scaliantella. You don't even get a menu. Just tell me what you want to order, right? Fried clams are my favorite thing. There's a couple of shacks in Ipswich, Mass, which were clam. Dude, the fried clams and the bellies and the tartar and the – I don't know where I'm going to have lunch today, but it's going to be aggressive. It is going to be very aggressive.
Well, you know, Masterpiece is right around the corner here.
That's
Masterpiece
the Asian
is the
restaurant
James
most
Beard.
Famous.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Literally right around the corner. Hello.
All right. A lot of things running through my head right now. Thank you for all the insight, Mr. Drew.
Yeah, great day. Glad to be in the hometown of Duluth, Georgia. So appreciate you guys coming out.
All right. We appreciate you, G-Money, as well. And tomorrow, Sandy returns, the Queen, Rusty on Friday. Enjoy your Monday. Andy and Randy up next. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.